We're talking today with Barbara Ingham, who is a food safety expert with the University of Wisconsin System, and we're talking about preparing venison. Now, venison is wild game, and there's always a little bit of a hazard when you're looking at wild game preparation. Where should we be starting when we're cutting up our deer and getting ready to turn it into tasty venison?
Correct. So venison is handled really a lot like beef. So we're keeping it cold. We're keeping either the meat clean. We're keeping our hands and cutting boards and things like that that we might come in contact with the meat clean. We're cooking it to proper temperatures, and we're preventing cross-contamination. So those four general food safety steps of cook, clean, separate, and chill are really the foundations that will help us to keep venison safe to serve for our families.
And that is one of the things that the UW Extension and the county health departments have been pushing, is making sure that people know these proper methods and steps in preparing their food.
Yes. So we certainly want to cook things properly. Probably before we even get to the cooking stage, we want to make sure that the surfaces and the areas where we're working are clean, our hands are clean, cutting boards are clean, so that we're not contaminating a meat source that is potentially hazardous itself.
One of the food preparation methods that we've been seeing the UW system push these days is canning. We can can our vegetables, we can can our garden produce. Can we can our venison?
Oh, canned meat is a popularly canned item. It makes for a really easy winter meal. If you go down to your pantry and you take a canned meat, you can can meat what's called raw pack. You can simply take the meat, generally it's cubed if it's venison, into a properly prepared jar, and the lid goes on. You don't have to add liquid to that, and you must be canned in a pressure canner, of course, or you can what's referred to as hot pack the meat. You then may brown it in a pan so that it's partially cooked. You take the meat cubes, put those in the jar with some of the broth that you've generated from browning the meat, and that's canned. Either make a great and relatively easy foundation for a family meal. It's certainly possible to can sausage and other what I might refer to as processed meats as well. You can certainly grind meat, make meatballs, and can those. So the County Extension Office has a bulletin that's entitled Canning Meat, Wild Game, Poultry, and Fish Safely that will walk you through the steps that you would need to know to can any of those types of meat safely and be able to put those on your cupboard, and they'll certainly last for at least a year. And that's a great way. It's a time investment up front to get that meat into the canner and through the canning process, but it really can be an investment worthwhile when you're looking to make say a stew with dumplings or something later on, and all you're doing is opening a few cans or jars really of food and to get a nutritious and healthy meal on the table.
One of the things that we have been seeing is a resurgence in home meat processing, either through venison sausage or venison jerky. What kind of safety steps should we be taking when we're doing home processing like that?
So sausage and other processed meats, and I think maybe a lot of venison that's made into sausage may be processed sometimes by commercial processors that do a lot of this in Wisconsin. Maybe those at home may be preparing venison in jerky, and that's probably a processed meat product that's a little bit more commonly done at home. The important thing in any of this is to make sure that the meat reaches a safe internal temperature so that it can be safely consumed. The processes that we're using in either drying meat if we're making jerky or the cooking process, which is a little bit lower heat if we're making something like a summer sausage, those can establish a situation where the temperature is lower and there may be the ability for pathogens associated with the meat to grow. So we just want to make sure that we reach a safe internal temperature, knowing then that we can consume that product safely.
And when we're looking at jerky and sausage and those kind of food preparations, what we're really trying to do is to make that meat, that product, as inhospitable to those pathogens as possible.
Yes, the trick with making jerky is that organisms such as salmonella, which is a pathogen many people have heard of, it actually is quite heat tolerant. And when placed in an environment where it's a dry heat, which is what you find when you're making something like jerky, the salmonella toughens up and it becomes increasingly difficult to remove it and to kill it off. So our recommendation then from UW Extension, if you're using a home-style dehydrator in making jerky, is that the jerky, the meat is dried at a temperature no lower than 145 degrees Fahrenheit. Ideally, the temperature is closer to 155 degrees. We don't really recommend that you check an internal temperature of jerky like you would, you know, the Thanksgiving turkey that you've just cooked, because that's really difficult to do. But once the jerky is dried, generally 4 to 6 hours at those temperatures, then you put it in the in a 275 degree oven for 10 minutes. It's absolutely delicious and it smells really good when it comes out of the oven. That oven heating step is critical to ensure safety of the product.
There are cold air processes for drying out jerky. Are those recommended by the UW system or is it just the hot processes?
We only recommend that meat be dried because it does so readily support the growth of harmful microorganisms, that meat only be dried where there's heat involved. So that would be at a temperature of certainly no lower than 145 and ideally 155 degrees Fahrenheit.
If people are interested in learning more about food canning and food safety and all of these different topics as it pertains to preparing their food, I'm told that the UW Extension has a number of blogs and recipes posted online.
Yes, probably the easiest way to access information is the UW Extension Food Safety page, which is www.foodsafety, spelled as one word, .wisc.edu. There's also a blog that's updated almost daily, and I'll get you that information. It's called Safe and Healthy. The web address for that is FYI, which is for your information, .uwex.edu/safe-preserving, spelled all as one word. And there on the Safe Preserving blog, updated almost daily, is information on not only venison jerky and handling wild game, which has already been posted. At this point, time of the year, today's blog was about eggnog and other using eggs safely for particular holiday dishes. We're going to be looking at mailing food safely through the mail and those kind of things as we enter the December holiday season.
Anything I've missed? Anything you want to add?
I just encourage individuals to reach out to the UW County Extension office, because that's a source not only of information to answer questions, but there is also access and links through there or in person to our UW Extension bulletins, which have information on food preservation as well as topics related to agriculture, parenting, what have you. Really, the resources from the university make their way into the information available through the UW Extension office.